music from the classical guitarist Sharon Isbin. She's been called pioneering and incomparable, the preeminent guitarist of our time. And now the three-time Grammy winner is the subject of a documentary that's on public television stations across the country. Isbin has also just released a new box set of her five most popular CDs, and she joins us now from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Sharon, welcome to Here and Now.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you brought your guitar with you. Could you play something for us?
Sure. This is a waltz by Antonio Lauro from Venezuela. It's called Natalia.
So that was just beautiful. And, you know, this is amazing because you've said that you've come to guitar accidentally. You wanted to be a rocket scientist when you were a kid. So how did you end up getting to this place?
Well, when I was 9 years old, our family moved to Italy from Minneapolis. And my older brother said he wanted guitar lessons. And when my parents found this amazing teacher who had studied with Segovia and commuted to the town of Varese where we were living, my brother said, okay, and went in for the interview and discovered it was classical and said, oh, no, that's not for me. I want to be Elvis Presley. So he never took a lesson, and I volunteered to take his place by default.
Did you have natural talent?
Well, I think I liked the instrument, but really, when you only put in 20 minutes a day, how good can you get? Not very impressive. So it took a while before I got serious about it.
And eventually, as a teenager, you were actually under the tutelage of Andres Segovia, one of the most famous guitarists of all time. What was it like having him as a teacher?
I was fortunate to have a few lessons with him, and I do remember the first time I ever played for him. It was really a little bit intimidating because he was such a king figure in the guitar world. My guitar was literally bouncing off my chest, but eventually it became, I would say, the magic of being able to work with Segovia was to sit just a few inches from him when he would demonstrate, and you'd hear this gorgeous diamond-like, beautiful sound that he was able to produce, and that became the model of what I wanted for my sound and my tone.
I wonder if there was a time in your early career when it sort of clicked for you, and you just kind of came to this realization that, yes, I am really good at this.
It was really an overnight experience because up until 14, I was very involved in science and model rockets, building cloud chambers. And my father used to say, you can't launch your rockets until you put an hour on the guitar. So that was how he bribed me to continue. And then I managed to put in an hour and practice and win a competition. And the award was to perform for 10,000 people as a soloist with the Minnesota Orchestra. And I remember stepping out on stage and thinking, you know, this is even more fun than watching my worms and grasshoppers go into space. I think I'm going to become a guitarist. And I literally changed gears then and there and started practicing 5 hours a day. And wouldn't you be amazed? Suddenly you get better the more effort you put into it.
And then here you are, years later, three Grammys under your belt. And one of the most amazing things about you, I think, having seen this documentary, is that over and over again, you've developed this reputation as someone who goes up to a composer that you admire, and you say, write something for me for the guitar. Inevitably, the composer says, oh, no way. I don't mess with guitars. And then you're persistent, and lo and behold, something beautiful happens, sometimes years later with this composer. Why do you think that most traditional composers have this? What do they have against the guitar?
I think it's just a bit of a mind-boggling instrument technically to figure out because you've got these four fingers on the right hand coordinating with four fingers on the left, and you can finger one note in about six different places, so it's a little confusing. And most people who are composers have a knowledge of the piano or a bowed instrument or the voice, but this is quite different. And you really have to take the time to show them how to play and translate the sounds they have in their head with what actually is produced. You know, it's one of the most extraordinary instruments in terms of the range of colors that are possible. No other instrument has the range, because we are able to produce anything from a bright metallic to a very warm, caressing, sensuous dolce further up by the keyboard, the fingerboard, we call it. And I think that once composers hear that, they can hear the orchestral nature of the instrument, and they get inspired.
Among the people that you've collaborated with over the years, they're so vastly different. I mean, you've got jazz guitarist Stanley Jordan. You've got the fiddler Mark O'Connor. I think you were also with the rock guitarist Steve Vai at one point. But one of the biggest leaps that it seems like you took was with the Chinese composer Tan Dun. Let's give a listen.
What Tan Dun was creating, he's, by the way, is the composer of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, so you would know him in a perhaps different context, but he was very inspired by both the Spanish guitar, which we would call the flamenco tradition, and the ancient Chinese lute or pipa. So what you're hearing at the beginning are gestures of flamenco music, where I'm stomping with my foot, clapping with the conductor, and hitting the instrument and strumming and striking. Later on, what emerges are beautiful folk themes from the Chinese history.
It takes some boldness to pull off, and I wonder if sometimes, as an artist for you, if there are times when you don't feel so sure of yourself despite all your great talents and skills.
Well, every experience, really, as an artist is a leap of faith. You have to just figure, if you're asking a composer to write for you, of course you don't know what's going to happen. Right now, for example, Chris Brubeck is composing a concerto for me that I'm going to premiere in April 2015 with the Maryland Symphony, and it'll be a tribute to his late father, Dave Brubeck. So it has all kinds of jazz influences, some really funky, wonderful Middle Eastern grooves. It's going to be dynamite. But often we don't really know what will happen, and we have to just have faith that the person that we have entrusted to make this new creation is going to do something beautiful and magnificent, and it's going to work. And that's, I think, the same thing that happens when you step out on the stage. You know you've prepared, but you really want that magic to happen, that flow, that indescribable connection between the performer and the audience, where we're all sharing the energy and the experience of the music.
Classical guitarist Sharon Isbin. The documentary Sharon Isbin Troubadour is presented by American Public Television. It is on 200 public TV stations around the country. Sharon, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, will you play another piece for us?
Sure. This is by Isaías Sávio from Brazil, and it's a samba called Batucada.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd, in for Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.